who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday morning service of May the 26th, 1989. Tape number 2B of the Memorial Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the teacher for the morning. Should this tape prove to be defective for any reason, please explain and return for replacement. Thank you.
I still say, let's fight on. Hallelujah. Amen. But let's be strong in the faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In all fairness to my friend that I gave for an example, he had no training. He didn't know how to survive on the ground. On the ground, he was helpless. And on the ground, I was a terror. That was the difference. But it was because of our training. I was trained to do it on the ground. I mean, you know. When I hit the ground, I wasn't never looking at nobody to surrender to. I was looking at somebody to harass one way or another. And I never was long in finding them either. As a matter of fact, I didn't have to look for them. They found me. They usually found me just before I hit the ground. But I bear in my body the marks. If I had surrendered when I told them I was prisoner for 3 months, they won't see my scars. I had them. But I'm just simply saying that if you're taken prisoner and you meet the Lord and you've been prisoner in the devil's camp most times, you better have some scars to show that you was clawing it. I tell you one thing, if they had took this old boy prisoner, and the only way they took me prisoner is if I'm unconscious and they pick me up and load me and haul me somewhere, I couldn't do nothing about that. But I tell you one thing, when I come to, they better make sure they lock the gates every night. Because I'll rattle them every time they leave. I'd be trying to get out of there. And that's what I've been trying to do in this warfare. I realize that I have some, that I have some points that needs to be, that is over in the, it's over in the camp of the enemy. He has that much in me. Jesus said when he comes, he won't find anything in me. I tell you, I won't rest well. I'll still be scratching and clawing, keeping my fingernails short so I can scratch until I can say with Jesus, he won't find anything in me either. Hallelujah. And when he don't find anything in you, you are ready to judge these angels and ready to be profitable in the next age, which will be the millennial kingdom age. Oh, I'd like to. What an interesting thing it is to do. And most people don't even know what we'll be doing. They don't even know what it's all about. Just, you know, been taught header skedder a little here and there. And we don't really know what to look like. And the Bible tells us. It really tells us. You just have to know when Isaiah prophesies, know what age he's prophesying for. You got to be smart to know that because he didn't even know himself. They didn't know. They prophesied and made all of these good projections and they wasn't happening. And they said, hey, what about all of this? We prophesy all of this and nothing's happening. And so one of them finally comes up with the answer. He said, oh, we're prophesying to another generation. It's to another generation. Oh, if you can hear God. What we need to do is hear God. A church is like a city. And a city, what is a city? It must be built upon a good, solid foundation. Wouldn't it? Because you've got to build tall buildings. So if you're hunting a place to build a city, you'd get a good foundation. And when it's built upon a good foundation, it must have government and order. If it doesn't have government and order, it's not much of a city, is it? If you have a city that does not have government and order, you help to establish government and order. And so the church is, Jesus said it was like a city. So it has to be built on a good foundation. And by the way, what is that foundation? The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Let me show you a little story here concerning the foundation of the church. In 1 Samuel it is. 1 Samuel chapter 22, and you will recognize this story. It's about David. And he, chapter 22 and verse, David has come to Elimelech. And in verse 14, and it's David, which, he's the king's son-in-law, as you know. And he says in verse 15, did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant. Am I in the right place? Nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing at all. This lesser more says. And the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech. All right. David has already come here to the king's house. We'll have to back up some here. Let's do. In verse 9, Doeg is at this house here where David has come to the priest. And verse 9, then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servant of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him victuals, and gave him the word, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priest, that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my Lord. And Saul said unto him, why have you conspired against me, thou and thy son Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and has inquired of God for him? That's what Ahimelech gave to David. That he should rise against me to lie in wait as of this day. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing at all of this, no more or less. The king said, you will surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footman that stood about him, turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons, that's 85, that did wear a linen ephod. He killed all the priests. And Nob, the city of priests, smote he with the edge of the sword. But there was one in verse 20 that got away, Abathar. And he comes to David and tells David what has happened. And that brings us to Psalms chapter 11. In Psalms chapter 11, when David got the word here that the priest had been slain as a result of the high priest there in charge of, as a result of him favoring David, he sat in his cave and wrote the psalm. In Psalms 11. And he says, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Now here it is. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now David is saying, in effect, the same as Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. David recognizes the priesthood here as being the foundation. And so when he writes the psalm after having received word of the slaughter of the priest, he says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What becomes of the righteous? If there is no foundation, what can the righteous do? Well, I tell you today that there are the church as a whole, as the world knows it, does not accept the ministry of an apostle and prophet. At the best, they will accept the pastor and evangelist, and possibly pastor teacher, but they do not accept a prophet or an apostle. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? All they can do is, I tell you what they can do. If they will not receive the ministry of the apostle and prophet, they'll have no foundation, and they will only follow a man's programs, be they ever so eloquent and so effective as to their purpose. Their purpose is to draw people to them. And many things are built around personalities. Oh, if we could get all the personality clashes settled, you know, hallelujah, it'd help a lot. But yeah, you know why there are so many denominations? It's mostly personality. You take a denomination that splits, and one of them splits off. Somebody leads a group out of it, starts another denomination, and writes their minutes almost identical to the last minutes they had, but they just change one, maybe one little item that don't mean turkey. And then when anybody asks them, what is the difference in y'all, they mention that little item. But the difference is that they had two strong personalities wanting to be general superintendent. And so, as Tommy told us last night, Absalom led a conspiracy against his father. And he read to us where he had 200 men following him that didn't know what he was up to. They didn't know where he was going. They just knew he was a good-looking guy. And had a beautiful personality. Hallelujah. Amen. Was a back-slapping, hand-shaking politician kind of a guy. That's all they knew. They didn't bother to find out where he's going. He said, when we leave here, y'all sound the alarm that Absalom has been crowned king. Here they are traveling with a man, and they don't embrace anything he's doing. Not really. If they knew what he was doing, they wouldn't embrace it. But he knows what he's doing, but he hopes they don't know. I'll tell you, there's a lot of religious order like that today, that some good personality, good intellect, good orator, he knows what he's doing. He just hopes his followers doesn't know. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he keeps the church. So you see, the church is under attack from within. When you get disturbance within, see, the church could withstand almost any kind of pressure as long as it's coming from without. Because it would only, if we had good unity on the inside, it would only make us closer and more determined. But when we have confusion within, we're deteriorating from the inside and out. But in spite of all of this, I don't think he's least bit shook up over it. He's just raising up some sons that will follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And he'll bring us to Zion at the appointed time. And I believe the appointed time is is very soon now. Very soon. Wouldn't surprise me if the sons of God would be translated any time. And I tell you, this I believe, and I can compile scripture that will substantiate the belief, that the sons of God will be manifested, and the first resurrection will take place, and the great tribulation will set in all at the same time. Maybe not to the extent that it could be called simultaneously beginning, but somewhere in a very close realm of time, all three of those things will happen. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, what we have to do is to endeavor to make ourselves, to allow ourselves to be in Christ. My hope is the Christ in us is the hope of glory. But the real hope, the glory is that we'll be in Christ. So what I hope is that seed life within me will envelop me until it is no longer Christ in me, but it is me in Christ. Now, this is the ones that all the promises are to, are those that have died in Christ will rise first. If you can make the first resurrection, there is no judgment mentioned for you beyond that. But if you make the first resurrection, there are other orders of resurrection, and you'll be judged according to what you did. And some will go into eternal life, some will go into eternal damnation, the King James says. So what should we do now? I have preached sonship up and down the land for over 25 years, and the Lord gave me the message by revelation, as much as he did Paul. Just not as thorough as Paul's, but he gave me revelation. He gave it to me by revelation, and I knew not one person that knew anything about sonship. And if you, some of you that are old enough to remember, there wasn't no charismatic bookstores with no sermons in them. There was nowhere to get any help. Nowhere to get any help. There was no books that we knew of or that were accessible to us. No books. Nobody was writing. Bill Britton wasn't writing sonship. I came in about the same time Bill did and knew him. He wrote perhaps some of the best on sonship. He put the nuggets on paper first. But he gleaned them several years later after I came into sonship. Bill was not the first man that I met that was moving into what the Lord was moving me into, but he was one of the first. The first person that I met that was God was moving into like ministry was a woman, Alta Smith, Okmulgee, Oklahoma. She's dead now, but she had this. She was getting this revelation. The next one I met was G.C. McCurry from, he was from North Carolina. Later, he went to Athens, Georgia, and he's around that area now. He was real knowledgeable. He came into a real knowledge real fast. Then we began to meet brethren then, and we met Bill Britton in about 58, maybe, somewhere along there, about the time he started writing. And some of the things that he wrote, he gleaned them from. Well, by then we were having conventions and preaching sonship, and Bill gleaned some of the things that he wrote in those books. He gleaned from those conventions from various speakers, and nobody was writing, so Bill put it in book form, and it was very, very good, very good, You know, I preached with all of those guys that a lot of, I have preached with a lot of people that wrote, that writes. And if you hear me preach a message that you may have read one very like it in his book, well, before you say I'm preaching his message, you might do a little research and find out that I ain't preaching this passage. He wrote mine. But be that as it will, I mean, I'm not covetous of that. I don't care. I always say, I've had them ask me. And for years, people tried to prevail on me to write. I said, I don't want to write nothing. If you want to write, well, why don't you follow me around in conventions, tape it, and edit it, and publish it, put your name on it, whosever name on it you want to. I don't care. I just don't feel to write. And that has been my lot. But, you know, when I throw out anything, well, you feel free to use it any way you want to if it'll be profitable to kingdom. If you throw out anything that I feel like profitable to kingdom, I'll probably get it. And I used to never would forget it, but I don't think I can say that now. My memory is not quite as sharp as it has been. But in that area, I don't think it is. Sometimes I was talking to the Lord the other day, and I said, Lord, I wish I had studied harder all of this years. Well, I'd studied, you know, almost full time. And the Spirit impressed me and said, well, you wouldn't know any more than you know. I mean, yeah, and then the Spirit kind of reasoned with me and by impression and said, well, what if you do read the Bible through again for the 141st time? I mean, when you get it read through again, you know no more about what it says than you do now. You know what the Bible says. I know all that the Bible says. You know what my problem is? I just don't know all it means. I know what it says, but I'm after the intent. It's the intent I'm after. And oh, goodness. At one time, I could almost quote the whole thing. I probably could right now. But that's not, I mean, when I do that, I don't learn anymore. I don't learn anymore by reading it through again. I've got to search out the intent. It's the intent, you see. I'm not bound to this letter. I'm bound to the intent of this letter. When I read a scripture, I say, well, Lord, I know what that says. Now, what was the thought you intended to convey here? Give me the thought. And he gives me a lot of thoughts. And that's the way to do the Bible. People often ask me how to study the Bible. And I say, and you know, it's embarrassing to have to say, I don't know. But that's what I finally have to wind up saying. I don't know. I don't really know. I may have studied it as much as most people that are living now. I slept with it. I read it all night, night after night, made notes. I didn't need much sleep, so I had a lot of energy. So I just expended it in here. But the amazing thing about it is, then I get to thinking, boy, I know so little. You've seen that old bumper sticker that says, I wish this had happened to me when I was a teenager while I still knew everything. Well, there was a time, several times in my life, I have felt like that I had preached it all up, and then that was discouraging too, because you know I was too young to quit, and then I'd get to it, and I'd study, you know, and think, ah, it's old hat, and then all it was, the Lord had just opened this thing up to me again, and the whole thing seemed new. Isn't it amazing? For years and years we've been telling this story, but it's fresh every time. It's always fresh. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke and destroys the fetter. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. Everything else will pass away, but His word will abide forever. I tell you, He's moving through His church. He is expressing Himself through through his church. Hallelujah. And I said there were many positions in the church. I tell you what my position is now, that I am in the womb of the church, awaiting the of the blessed sons of God. Hallelujah. And I believe that she's beginning to travail in pain for birth. Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll be birthed into the knowledge that has been, we have ever pursued, but it has always eluded us. But I tell you, the time will come that we will know as we are known. Well, somebody said, does that mean we'll know each other in heaven? No. It may mean that, but it means a lot more than that. Hallelujah. If I know as I am known, well, how am I known? You go back to the Bible, and every member was already recorded in the Chronicles before ever I came forth. And every hair in my head is numbered. And he knows my upsettings and my down. He knows all there is to know about me. Now, he says to me that there comes a time. Now we know in part, and we see in a glass darkly, but then we'll know as we are known. And I tell you, I'm known quite well by him. If I get this knowledge, well, that somebody mentioned the restoration of the knowledge of Adam. It is scripturally implied in more than one place that Adam had 10 times the mental capacity that we have. Hallelujah. And we've got some mighty smart folks now, haven't we? We've got scientists that just do wonders and wonders and wonders. And I tell you, the church has progressed just as fast or faster than all the things that we can see. First it's the natural, and then the spiritual. Praise the Lord. Well, I've just kind of introduced an introduction to a study. Really, I would go from here into the cities of refuge, which are representative of the church, if I were studying further. But I see that it's noontime, and I think that we will. Would you just give the Lord a moment of silence here as we meditate this morning? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the wonderful Lord. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Thank you, great God. Thanks be to the Almighty. Thank you, great and merciful God. Mercy of mercies, our Lord and our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear, O house of the Lord. Yeah, and know that your Lord has, yea, he has focused in on you this day. Yea, he has focused in on this location, this gathering, this coming together, this people that have accumulated. They will be now coming and going. But I tell you, I, the Lord, thou God, will pour out my spirit upon all that come. I'm going to bring enlargement to you, one and all, saith the Lord. Yea, I'm going to enlarge your capacity that you may hear more of what the Spirit says. I'm going to enlarge your memory that you may remember more of what the Spirit doth teach thee, saith the Lord thou God. I'm going to enlarge your ability to transmit it, yea, and to share it with others, for the day is at hand. Yea, and that time draweth near, saith the Lord. Yea, I called you unto myself, that I may convey my love to thee in a most forceful manner, saith the Lord thou God. I call thee together that thou might learn about my order, that is divine, about my placement, this mixed and met and blended with the initiative of anointed man. Nothing shall be able to stand in its way, saith the Lord thou God. I have raised thee up to be a great people, yea. Not to be just people that are trodden down. Yea, not even just an ordinary people, saith the Lord. But I have made you extraordinary, saith the Lord. Yea, for I have poured out my anointing upon thee and saturated you with my spirit, saith the Lord. Yea, know that I have many things to say to you, yea, and you shall surely hear them all. Yea, but it shall be here a little and there a little, line upon line and precept upon precept, yea, until thou comest to the fullness of the purpose of the Almighty for your life, saith God. Yea, I shall surely take a remnant. I shall form the fullness of my life in them. Yea, and I shall bring this remnant to Zion. Yea, and I shall unveil my remnant. Yea, and this will set off the chain reaction of events that are all recorded in your Bible, saith the Lord thou God. Great times shall befall the world, times of peril. It shall be a great and notable day, great and dreadful, great for those that have made themselves ready, dreadful for those that have been idle, yea, and have sat by the wayside and wondered, what are those Christians doing, and why do they do it so diligently? Yea, let it never be said of one of mine that they are slack and unconcerned. Yea, for I shall stir your hearts to remembrance. For I shall soon be gathering together my jewels, yea. I shall look in the book of remembrance, yea, and see who shall be spared and who shall be gathered, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for I shall surely breathe upon thee, yea, and breathe into thee. And I shall breathe from one end of the earth to the other, and all the world will know that the Most High God reigns. Yea, and I will set you forth as spectacles of the world. Yea, as examples shall you be. Yea, you shall be as saviors, yea, that shall bring deliverance. Yea, and shall bring security. For the Lord thou God hath ordained it from before time was instituted, saith the Lord. Yea, ye shall surely be this people. Yea, for you are that people upon whom the ends of the ages come. I place great responsibility upon ye. Yea, for the Scripture has already placed it on thee, saith the Lord. I bring confirmation of that responsibility now. I tell you, my people, that you shall begin to honor one another with double honor. Yea, you shall begin to esteem each other, greater than thyself. Yea, and thou shalt look to leadership, for I shall give thee honorable leaders, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, leaders that will be after you and not after yours, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, they will lead as a good shepherd. Their hope is to find green pastures for the sheep. Yea, that the security of the sheep might be their first and top priority, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, move with me, and I shall move into leading thee in and out so that you shall find green pastures, saith the Lord. Yea, come together often, as often as is convenient for you, saith the Lord. Yea, and I shall make those conveniences. Yea, and I shall supply the need, and you can come together often. Yea, you can be helped. I tell you, my people, deliverance is very needful in this hour. Yea, you need a cleansing, a real purifying, saith the Lord. Yea, and I have a ministry in the midst of you this morning. Yea, that is able to minister this that I speak of, saith the Lord. Yea, ministry that in the secular world would be called specialist. I tell you, my children, yea, come. Yea, come asking, and you shall receive. Yea, for do you not know that for all that will come to me, I will in no wise turn away, saith the Lord. Yea, come, I will heal vertebrae. Yea, I will heal spirits. Yea, I will eradicate the spirit of greed, the spirit of covetousness, malice. Yea, and I tell you, my people, when you are delivered of some or all of these spirits, you will just feel good in your physical being. Yea, you will feel that a great load has lifted from you. Yea, you will feel victory is yours again. Yea, depression will be driven far from your house. And I shall bring peace and tranquility to families where there is only hatred and strife, saith the Lord. I tell you, my people, it is my intention that my people shall be gathered together in family style, saith the Lord. And the children shall have a mother, and the children shall have a father. Yea, and they shall live under the same roof, if you would please the Almighty. Yea, I tell you, but there is an adversary that has come to bring division. Yea, that has come to split families. Yea, that has come to promote divorce. I tell you, my people, pray and seek the Lord. And for those of you that are contemplating splitting, yea, from the family, I tell you to think again. Pray much, for the Lord of glory is not pleased with this kind of division. Yea, but he is pleased with unity, saith the Lord. Yea, I speak to a people that love me. I speak to a people that understand me. I speak plainly to you because I know your hearts, and I know that you will not be offended, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, if you will take this word and live by it, I will liken you unto a man that built his house on a rock. Yea, and the storms came, the wind blew, the hail beat. Yea, and the floodwaters rose, but that house stood, because it was founded on a rock. Yea, but if you should hear my word lightly, yea, and go away saying, I have heard that before, yea, and I will do as I please, I still cannot. Oh, somebody has told me what to do, but they have not told me how to do it. If this should be your attitude, I'll liken you unto another man that built another house on the sand. And it stood for a while, but then came the storms. The wind blew, the hail fell, the flood tide rose, and that house was destroyed, and great was the destruction of that house. I tell you, my people, endeavor to keep the unity of peace among the brethren, among the family of God. Yea, and come to be counseled to these men and women of God that are in your presence now. I tell you, you can get help if you will seek it out. For this is a time, yea, a time of memorial. Yea, a time when God is remembering. Yea, remembering to touch you with a little special touch of love and compassion, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, stand with me and we'll give the Lord a great big praise offering. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, mercy of mercies. My Lord and our God. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Dismissed. We'll be back at 1:15.
Hallelujah. There is power. Wonder working power in the blood.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.